They thrust their lewdness in the faces of men and women and children alike, and their agenda really has no limits. You may have seen in the newspaper this recently, trouble in Hardin County in the high school over this very issue. It has split this high school 50-50 in their opinions and their support of homosexuality. The American Heritage Dictionary defines homosexuality in very simple terms: sexual activity with another of the same sex. The word homosexual has had a stigma attached to it. They hijack a pleasant word such as gay and attach that to the ungodly sin of homosexuality. They also use words like alternate lifestyle, choice, preference, and tolerance when they're speaking publicly about this immorality. And people who oppose their practices are accused of being hate mongers, gay bashers, and people who suffer from homophobia. I could not bring myself, after the interview that the president gave on national television, to teach on this subject because it was Mother's Day. And I didn't want to taint remembrance of our mothers and honor due to our mothers with such a subject as that. But it's time to speak on that subject. The practice and acceptance of homosexuality really reveals a society that has rejected God. If you have your Bible open to the text, I hope that you will look with me and see in your Bible what God says about this subject in Romans 1, 24 through 32. We want to look carefully at this passage and make sure that we understand what it says. There's probably no other passage which shows so clearly what happens to people who leave God out of their lives. You see, in verse 24, people live in the lusts of their hearts. And this results in impurity and bodies that are dishonored among them. You see, in verse 25, people have exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served everything other than their Creator. And you see in verse 26 that God gave them over to degrading passions. We're not left to wonder what God is talking about. Their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in verse 27, in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men. God says in verse 27, they are committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. The society is one where they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, in verse 28. So God gave them over to a depraved mind, in verse 28. And what will a depraved mind do? Those things which are not proper, in verse 28. And God lists some of those things specifically in verses 29 through 31. And in verse 32, further, they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death. That's an eye-opening statement about some of these things that are listed by the inspired writer. Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19. Shows by example how God feels about homosexuality. The law that was given to the people of God in Leviticus 18 and verse 22 and Leviticus 20 and verse 13 speak against the sin of homosexuality and declare in the law of God to His people that those guilty of such should be put to death. And the kingdom of heaven in the New Testament is forbidden to those who engage in homosexuality in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, and in Jude, verse 7. Notice in verse 32 of Romans 1, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Do you know anyone in this country who gives hearty approval to what the homosexuals are doing in our country today? We have become a country that is not only sympathetic toward the immoral, we tolerate it and we even promote it. Hollywood portrays homosexuals favorably, and those who denounce homosexuality unfavorably. Our liberal media portrays homosexuals as poor, misunderstood people that are discriminated against and their civil rights are violated. There is a mounting pressure at various government levels to legalize homosexual marriages. It's interesting that from the founding of this country in the 13 original colonies until 1961, sodomy was a violation of the law. But somehow in our more enlightened age, we think we're smarter, and we have come along in the last 50 years and destroyed the moral fabric of the legal system in this country and started unraveling it in a frightening way. In June 2003, the U.S. Supreme Court eliminated state sodomy laws. Homosexuality is now being promoted by people in this country as a civil rights issue. The contention is frequently made these days that sexual preference is entirely a private affair. We're told that what homosexuals do is their business. And those who fancy themselves as broad-minded intellectuals in our country allege that their rights must be protected. The acceptance of homosexuality is not just a matter of rights. The gays are pushing for public acceptance of their conduct in addition to their rights. They want to teach in public school, and that what they want to teach is not that their rights should be respected. What they want to teach is that their sin should be acceptable in this society. Should those who champion incest and bestiality be denied their rights to teach our children in school that those things are acceptable? One spokesperson for the Coalition for Lesbian and Gay Rights has stated that the ultimate goal of the gay liberation movement is freedom of sexual expression for young people and children. The writer says, "We gain nothing by limiting our defense of homosexual love to consensual sex between adults. It is absurd to charge gay men who share their sexuality with boys as child molesters." Is this what the Constitution of the United States was designed to protect? We have liberal judges in this country who rewrite their state constitutions to eliminate sodomy laws. In May of 2004, Massachusetts gave homosexuals the right to marry each other. Think of the ramifications in a courtroom where someone comes in guilty of murder and his attorney stands up and says, "Your Honor, it's not his fault. It's a result of his genes. He was born that way. Therefore, he's innocent." And the judge says, "He's innocent." Why can we see that that's not the right thing to do with someone who commits murder out here, or bestiality out here, or incest out here, but it's okay to take that position as far as homosexuals are concerned? Certain businesses in our country, well-known businesses and manufacturing corporations, well-known businesses, take part of their operating capital to support the advancement of homosexuality in our country. And many corporations are granting spousal benefits to those enmeshed in perverted sexual lifestyles. Liberal preachers get up and try to explain away what God has clearly said about homosexuality in His book. Progressively, mainline religions are permitting gay and lesbian clergy to be ordained. In March of 2004, Gene Robinson, an avowed homosexual, was ordained the ninth bishop of the New Hampshire Episcopal Church, which ended up splitting that church right down the middle. Many religious leaders do not hesitate to perform marriages for homosexual couples. Already, gays and lesbians all across this country are adopting children. Jesus spoke of marriage as that which was ordained of God, and he said that marriage was between a man and a woman, a male and a female, in Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. The high school in the next county over that is going through some turmoil now about this subject because high school students have been misguided into thinking that all this is a matter of someone's rights. The homosexual propaganda is infiltrating the curriculum of the public schools in every available crevice at an alarming rate. What has homosexuality brought to this world? Paul says in Romans 1 that what it has brought to this world is a rejection of God. And not only that, we see the breakdown in wholesome family values. The College of American Pediatricians denounce homosexuality. Homosexuality has brought to our world diseases, human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, AIDS. But the big thing about it is, it has brought a rejection of God Almighty. Before stating their homosexual actions in Romans 1, 26 through 27, Paul really unfolds there a step-by-step departure from God that the Gentiles took. In verses 21 through 25, included are significant statements about motive and mindset. Let's look briefly, if you will, at the steps to sodomy described for us in Romans 1. First, there is a change in the reasoning of men. Look at verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. They changed their reasoning. The repudiation of God's right to dictate to man the kind of life that he should live is what he's talking about. Indifference toward God and righteous things. When a society decides that they want to ban the Bible, that they want to eliminate prayer, it has taken the first steps toward moral degradation. We are where we are today because men have decided to no longer worship God and give Him thanks. Verse 25 says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They abandoned moral absolutes that God laid down in His Word, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Their aim was to please themselves. And when men decide they want to please themselves, anything goes, at least in their minds. Something or someone is substituted in place of God. Friends, that's idolatry. In any shape, form, or fashion, no matter how you look at it, that is idolatry. Man then makes worship for himself and not for God. These are, in verse 18, men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. A second step that's taken in this step towards sodomy is seen in verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. When God has been removed as the spokesman who determines right and wrong, man has no objective criterion that he can look to, that he can rely on as being true, that he can know what is right and what is wrong, because he's abandoned that and rejected that. Those who deny God characteristically claim superior wisdom and superior knowledge, and they belittle those who believe in God's Word and rely upon God's Word to show them how to live in this life. They think we're backwoods folk because we embrace God's Word. But God says in verse 21, their foolish heart was darkened. This is the situation in America today. Our country has already legalized a whole list of immoralities. Gambling, pornography is legal. Adultery is legal. Murder of the unborn is legal. More things are going to follow This society is not going to stop there. We're going to end up legalizing prostitution. We're going to end up one day legalizing incest. Don't be surprised if on your evening news one night you see that the news reporters are gathered around somebody who creates a controversy because they want to marry their dog, because it's coming. Man in his subjective wisdom has become a fool, God said. And thirdly, the step also in Romans 1 is seen in verse 24 and in verse 26. God allows man to go his own chosen way and reap the consequences of that. God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts in verse 24. He gave them over in verse 26 to degrading passions. God will only tolerate so much of this kind of conduct before He altogether turns His back on the society that lives this way and practices these things. And the degrading passions just get worse and worse as men live without decent restraint. The pornography and the fornication and the adultery, which are so prevalent in our modern day society, is the seedbed which has produced a harvest of a society that embraces homosexuality. A holy God will not tolerate it forever. Soon He will bring judgment against this nation, although the form that judgment takes is not known by man at this time. Do you love this country? I do. I love it. America is a great country. But when we look at it from a moral perspective, what do we see? If our eyes have not been blinded by Satan, we see the rottenness of its immorality. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness in verse 18. Men prefer to hear about God's love, of course. Having convinced themselves that He's a loving God and He never would punish anybody, God, out of His righteous revulsion against sin, must render a just response to influences that are destructive to His created people. He must. And man is, in verse 20, without excuse. There are harsh realities that exist about this subject that we can see in Romans 1, 26 and 27. Homosexuality is characterized as the result of degrading passions. That simply means it's not an honorable thing. It's not something that can be respected. It's shameful, and it ought to be embarrassing to people. They ought to be embarrassed by it, not parading around in public with signs. God declares what's degrading and what's not. Men don't have the responsibility or obligation to do that. That's God's position. It's a matter of choice. Some people are trying to convince us it's not a matter of choice, but it is. Notice what the Word of God says. They exchanged. What do you do when you go to the store? You exchange your money for your groceries. That's something within your control. That's something you choose to do. This is what God says these people do. They exchanged. And they abandoned the natural use, male and female, for the unnatural, male with male, female with female. And we're told that homosexuals can't help the way they are. Supposedly, we must respect their sexual orientation as a matter of nature, as if God made them that way. You know, if God made them that way, why does God punish that behavior? Why did He destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? The popular sex therapist Masters and Johnson did an extensive study of homosexuality, and their conclusion was homosexuality is a learned behavior. It's also called in the record a perversion from the natural function to that which is against nature or unnatural. Jude 7 calls it going after strange flesh. It's biologically wrong. You know, you can't watch a nature program on television and see two male animals together or two female animals together. It's not natural. God's book says it is against nature. God's book says that it's caused by lust. Males burning in their desire for males and females for females. They become homosexuals as a result of their lust, the Bible says. The actions are a result of their desires. It is a choice made by those who give in to these evil desires. James wrote in James 1, 13 and 14, "Let no one say when he's tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust," James says. Furthermore, another harsh reality, homosexuality is called committing indecent acts, or if you look at Jude 7, it's called gross immorality. What is moral is not determined by what a person can get away with. What is moral is not determined by the laws of our country, what is necessary legal, and it's not at all determined by what the majority of people think. How would the majority of people have voted in Sodom and Gomorrah? God declares what is decent and what is not. It's called error that has a due penalty or a recompense. There were consequences to their actions, receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error, the Bible says. We shouldn't be surprised when others are rightfully repulsed at such behavior, and when depression and sickness and disease riddle the mind and the body in this type of lifestyle. We shouldn't be surprised by that at all. We shouldn't be surprised that many people never make it to the average age of 70 because of their homosexual lifestyle. And finally, God in His righteous judgment deems this conduct for those who practice such things and for those who give hearty approval to the ones who are practicing that worthy of death. Now, the voice we're hearing in our country today is worthy of rights. And the voice we're hearing from God is worthy of death. Now, what about the rights of those who are worthy of death? They don't have any rights anymore. They forfeited their rights. They've given them up. God says they're worthy of death. It is against the teaching of God in every age for people to engage in this practice. In the sacred scriptures, the name Sodom lives in infamy, doesn't it? Infamy of history. So well known is the biblical narrative concerning the perversions of Sodom and Gomorrah that the term Sodomite has come to mean, through the centuries, a homosexual. See 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, for a similar passage to the one that we're looking at now in Romans chapter 1. The Bible represents an insurmountable wall for those who would agree to and practice homosexuality. No matter how much endorsement is received by men, one barrier eternally and unalterably stands against homosexual practices. And that barrier is God's Word. Lest we underestimate the homosexuals' disdain for the Bible, listen to homosexual theologian and advocate, Robert Williams. He says this, "The point is not really whether or not some passage in the Bible condemns homosexual acts. The point is that you cannot allow your moral and ethical decisions to be determined by the literature of a people whose culture and history are so far removed from your own. You must dare to be iconoclastic enough to say, so what if the Bible does say it? Who cares?" That's his position. And he's a theological leader among homosexuals. In other words, the Bible is irrelevant to our day. What it says can be disregarded. Brethren and friends, this is blatant blasphemy against God. And it will not go unpunished. How do Christians respond to this issue in our society today? Not with violence. That is a principle that the Lord taught us to conduct ourselves, not with violence, Romans 12 and verse 21, rather with prayer. We can do a lot of praying. We can pray for homosexuals to repent so that God will forgive them and embrace them and have fellowship with them and they can enjoy the eternal kingdom after this life is over. We can pray that our citizens of this country will select lawmakers and judges that place God's morality far above economics and getting votes. We react with teaching. We cannot be silent on this subject and allow it to parade through our society unopposed. Be ready to suffer for righteousness' sake. 1 Peter 4, 14 through 19. Be informed about the schemes of the devil, because the devil works behind the scenes in an underhanded way with subtle influences that influence our young people to think, well, maybe homosexuality is not all that bad. It's not a matter of rights. Live the example of Jesus Christ. Do not compromise on what the Word of God says plainly, and you can read it in your Bible. This is how Christians must respond to the homosexual issue that's facing us in our society today and destroying our society. But after all of this, there's good news. There really is good news. Homosexuals can repent and be forgiven. Look with me in your Bible in 1 Corinthians 6, please, verses 9 through 11. It would be most desirable, of course, if we could simply sit down with homosexuals and teach them what God said and show them that God requires them to abandon their wickedness and obey the principles of Jesus Christ and be accepting of the forgiveness that God has at such a precious cost provided for every man. And this is precisely what some people in the first century did. You see in 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 9, "Or do ye not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." You know, how much plainer does it have to be? But look at verse 11. "Such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God." They had been guilty of these things in the past. But they repented. They changed. They left it behind to embrace God and His Word through Jesus Christ. And in doing that, God cleansed them. He wiped it all away. They were not guilty any longer. Their sins were washed away by the blood of Christ. They were sanctified. They were set apart. They were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ so they could stand on judgment day and claim connection with Jesus Christ. And God would say, "Come, my children, ye blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The practice and acceptance of homosexuality really reveals a society that has rejected God, and it's ugly. And it follows an ungodly progression. The Bible reveals the harsh realities of homosexuality, and it's wrong. Christians must make a response to homosexuality, not with violence, but with prayer, with our influence, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and with the powerful Word of God. that is the power to bring salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1 and verse 16. We must encourage homosexuals to repent. Acts 17, 30 and 31. Change before it's too late. Thank you for listening this morning. Thank you for looking in your Bible and seeing what the Word of God says. If we can help you become a Christian today, we rejoice with you to be able to do that. As one who comes to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ of the Old Testament Scriptures, is willing to repent of sins and confess Him before men and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, just as the Bible teaches, raised to walk in newness of life as a new creature, to be faithful to the principles of God, to be encouraging and loving to other brothers and sisters in Christ. We'd love to help you with that today. And if we can, please come and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.